Just while we're waiting for the parents to come back, I'll explain a little bit about who I am. I think most people know who I am by now. Who I am, Sue I am. Sue I am. yeah, so I have been a member of Ormskirk Christian Fellowship for 19 years, or somewhere around then. At least I've been coming for 19 years. I've probably been a member for 18 or 17. Actually, I have a card from Mike and Adrienne that they gave me when I became a member. And it was a lot of what was in it was about that the Lord will not disappoint me. And I can say with my hand on my heart that the Lord has not disappointed me. He is faithful. He is really faithful. And usually what I say when I start speaking is, I love Jesus very much. And all we want to do today is just point you to Jesus. To point you to the Father, to point you to the Spirit, and to ask for fresh revelation, whether it's one word, whether it's the whole thing. Whatever it is, just to for you to receive some fresh revelation from him, because we know that it's revelation of him that changes us. It's not just a nice story from us or a great song or whatever, but it's fresh revelation from his word, from his heart, from his truth that transforms us, because his truth sets us free. And we've been a little unsure about what we were going to share this morning. I wouldn't say that I've got a sermon, but just got a couple of devotional things to share, and the girls also. It would help to know how long we've got. Forever. You can start eating the food if you get hungry. Yeah, okay, good. Just to explain a little bit about how I know the girls and how the girls know each other. Hanya and Aga grew up together, have known each other since they were like 4 or something. and Aga became a Christian when she was 13, from a difficult family situation where her father was trapped in alcoholism, which caused her and her brother and her mum to leave the home. And in that time, the Lord met with them and met with her father, and he, from that moment forward, didn't drink again. And the family is together. And then, yeah, there's whole of the points of the story, but Aga has grown up then with the Lord and seen deliverance from depression as well in her own life. Next was Kasia, met Aga at university, and was, you know, some people are right at the point where they just need someone to say the gospel, and they'll be like, yeah, I want that. And that's what it really was like with Kasia. She was ready to receive the gospel. Aga told her about her faith and then became a believer 5 years ago, 4 years ago, 4 years ago. And then Hanya has been brought up in the Catholic Church. She's a Catholic, and had experienced some knowledge of knowing the Lord, some faith, but wouldn't say at that point she'd really experienced knowing Christ and baptism in the Holy Spirit. And it was through their friendship, the three of them together then, that Hanya gave her life to the Lord and had quite an exciting experience of the Holy Spirit on the top of a mountain. So, and one thing that's really impressed me about these three is that they made a decision very early on that they were going to be really, really honest with one another and to be really accountable and to say everything about everything to each other and to push each other deeper into the Lord. Aga's already crying. This is normal. And it shows in their level of, in the way that they walk with the Lord. I mean, Hanya's been a Christian 3 years, and Kasia's 4 years, and Aga longer. But together, the experience of faith between them is quite amazing, and I'm very proud to be working with them and to see the Lord bringing them up and releasing them further into their calling. And the way I'm involved with them is that 2 years ago, Aga and Kasia came to the place where I work in Germany and did an internship with me, so I was leading the internship. And we had, I think it was only 6 weeks really together before I went off to America, because I spent a year in America. We had 6 weeks together, and it was just a really great time, and I began mentoring them from that point. And then this year, Hanya came for an internship to the same place in Germany when I came back from America, and that's when I got to know her and started mentoring her. So, and then in the last few months, we've been doing a project together. So I'm leading the project, they're on the project. And the idea of the project is really to just look at what healthy biblical community looks like together. I'd never done this before. I'm making up as I go along. They're very patient with me. And it's just been a time of really going deep into the word of what is community, what is healthy community. We have many examples in our history of unhealthy community within the church where things have gone wrong. And I think the problem when we look at those is we think, okay, we don't want to go into unhealthy community, so let's just throw out all of community because it's too complicated. And what we want to do is look at what healthy biblical community looks like. What does it look like to really share faith and grow together, to be accountable, to deal with the hard issues, to learn to love and forgive and go deep into the Lord together? And what does it mean to minister his kingdom love together? What does it look like for a community to really push forward into the things of the Lord and be a demonstration of his love? Because that's what the Lord intended for his people Israel. You know, and I know you've been talking about this here. They were blessed to be a blessing. You know, the Lord wanted them to be a demonstration of the fullness of his love, the fullness of his character, the fullness of his kingdom. Yeah. And that's what he wants for us now. Amen. Not just as individuals. I think in the West we get a very individual mindset of my relationship with the Lord. And don't anybody else tell me what to do or whatever, or it's just about me being faithful. But there's a community dynamic of kingdom love and kingdom expression that goes far beyond the sum of the parts. And that's what we're pressing into and seeking for. What does it look like when we start to flow together in the gifts of the Spirit, when we honor each other with our different gifts? We focus often in the church of looking at what gifts we have, and we might look at the fivefold, so prophet, teacher, pastor, evangelist, apostle. But do we learn how to actually flow together towards the same vision? So it's not about just knowing your gift and doing your gift. It's like, how do we operate together in the same direction? Because actually those gifts usually have very different personalities. So the prophet's like, we need to go here. And the pastor's like, help the people, help the people. And we need to learn what it means together to pull those things in the same direction. And so that's some of the stuff we've been looking at. And one of the things that the Lord's really brought out in our time is, what is covenant? What does it mean to be in covenant relationship with the Lord and with one another? Because we're already in covenant when we accept him. It's not something we have to find. We just need to know how to live it out. And that's kind of what we're trying to do. Sometimes we don't do it too well. but we're learning. Anyway, is everyone here now? Probably about 10 minutes ago. 2 things I wanted to share really is a kind of devotional thought. First is about Jubilee. I don't know how many know anything about Jubilee, the concept of Jubilee in the Bible. But it talks about it in Leviticus 25. Verse 8 onwards. I'm not going to read the whole thing or explain the whole thing, but I'm just going to raise it and pull out a few themes. And this was something I felt that was important for you guys, and I'm not really sure why, but I'm just going to throw it out there. So Leviticus 25, verse 8 says, count off seven Sabbaths of years, so seven times 7 years, so that the seven Sabbaths of years amount to a period of 49 years. Then have the trumpet sounded everywhere on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement, sound the trumpet throughout the land. And then consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for each of you. Each one of you is to return to his own family property and to his own clan. The 50th year shall be a jubilee for you. Do not sow and do not reap what grows of itself or harvest the untended vines. For it is a jubilee and it is holy for you. Eat only what is taken directly from the fields. Then it goes on to explain about land and property, very specific things that the Lord's saying. You might think, okay, that's weird. What's that all about? I just wanted to pull some things out of it, because what's interesting is if you look in the Hebrew calendar, this year would have been a year of Jubilee. So beginning in around the middle of September, Rosh Hashanah, they blew the trumpets. They're still doing it, blowing the trumpets. We were in Israel around that time. They blow the trumpets and declare the year of Jubilee. And the interesting thing about Jubilee is that it signifies liberty and freedom. So basically every 50 years, God was saying to his people, I want you to proclaim liberty through the land, and I want to bring things back into order that have got out of order in the last 50 years. Because the Lord knows that we have this tendency to drift. We might have been on the right path, and then we kind of drift, we drift, we drift. And so he put this cycle in place that every 50 years, the people would be reminded, okay, let's cancel debt, let's bring things back into order, let's free the slaves, let's come back into alignment with what it means to live in freedom. And so there was a returning of land to people. There was a setting slaves free. There was a releasing of debt. And it just brought things back into alignment with the Lord, because he knows we drift. And this was his cycle that he put in place, and he knew that if the people lived in this cycle, then it would bring a freedom to them. And so it didn't matter, actually, in the end, if you'd mismanaged your money over that time, you had a chance to start again. I mean, how much freedom does that bring, that every 50 years you will have a chance? And obviously we usually only get one 50 year in our life, but there was this chance to start again. And it wasn't just supposed to be a practical event, it was supposed to demonstrate a spiritual reality that the Lord wants us to live in these cycles of freedom, cycles of not being oppressed, cycles of not being slaves, cycles of not being in debt. He wants us to live in freedom. And all the way through the Bible, with the principle of Shabbat, which is the Sabbath. Every 7 days, there's a Sabbath. And this principle of Jubilee, every 50 years, there's Jubilee. These are the cycles of the Lord that are cycles of blessing. And all the way through the Bible, you can see these cycles of blessing, that if we stay in alignment with the Lord's word, with the way that he said to do things, then blessing is released. And you can see it just practically with the land, so with the farmers. They were told not to sow, because there's this principle that the land will reap more if it's not constantly sowed. So if you let the land rest, then it will reap more. And in this 50th year, they actually had to let the land rest for 2 years, which means they had to trust the Lord for 3 years of harvest, actually, because they weren't allowed to sow in the 49th year, because that was Shabbat, Sabbath. They weren't allowed to sow in the 50th year, because that was Jubilee. And then they were allowed to sow in the 51st, but the harvest wouldn't come till the end. So for 3 years, they had to trust that in the 48th year there would be enough sown, enough harvest for 3 years. And underneath these principles of liberty, freedom, release from debt, is this principle that, do we really trust the Lord? That's what it's saying. Do you trust me that if you don't sow in this year, when I tell you not to sow, there will be enough? Or do you think I'm the father who doesn't give enough? Do you think you need to take control of your own harvest? But his cycles of blessing promise abundance. The enemy's cycles are cycles of destruction. They take us down and down and down. They make us greedy and we take. And it's a cycle that doesn't give abundance. But the Lord's cycles of blessing give abundance. And it's interesting that with the Israelites, the reason that they went into captivity, it says it in Leviticus 26, one of the reasons they went into captivity is they failed to keep the Sabbath and they failed to keep Jubilee. And the Lord says, you did not let the land rest, so I'm going to send you out of the land and I will let the land rest. And that just shows how important these principles are to the Lord. I'm not saying that we want to become religious and do all these things just to make a point, but the principles, that was the whole point that the Lord put these into place, the principles in our life can bear fruit. One of the other things that is symbolic of Jubilee is receiving back what you've lost. Receiving back what has been stolen from you. Receiving back what has been taken from you. Receiving back what should have been your inheritance. And it can demonstrate to us that there's a fullness that the Lord wants for us. And he's saying, okay, remember it again this year and step into a new level of faith. Amen. That you can receive all that the Lord's given you, and he will give you back the things that have been stolen over the years by the enemy, by people, by situations. He will give back. He is faithful. Amen. And the reason why I wanted to talk about Jubilee today is because I think, okay, God is faithful all the time, we know that, but he has these times, and we don't necessarily understand it, that are appointed times, that if you step into it in that time, there's a greater fullness that comes. It talks in the Bible often about knowing the times and the seasons, and I think it's significant for this congregation that this year is the year of Jubilee. And I think there is going to be a breakthrough where you've had promises that seem unfulfilled to say, have the expectation again that there's going to be a breakthrough this year.
Amen.
To receive the inheritance that's been promised for you. Mm-hmm. To receive the fullness for this in your individual life, but also for this congregation. To look back and remember the words the Lord has given this congregation. To look back and say, what is it the Lord has said? What has he promised? Okay, let's together take hold of that this year, because I believe there's going to be a breakthrough. I believe there's going to be a fullness in this next calendar year that you will not have seen before. And all those things for years and years that you've thought, okay, it's not coming. I'm going to step out and say it's going to come.
Amen.
It's going to come this year. And the Lord wants us to awaken ourselves to those things again.
Thank you, Lord, yeah.
And I think you can declare that out over the other people. The cool thing about Jubilee is it's good news for the poor. Jubilee is good news for the poor. Yeah. Jubilee is good news for those in slavery. And I know that you have a strong emphasis on working to end human trafficking here. And you're very involved with that. We'll take hold of the promises of Jubilee and declare it in the spiritual to see it happen in the natural.
Amen.
Because this is the year of Jubilee and it is the year of breakthrough. And it can change the way we pray. When we get hold of those biblical principles, we can pray those chains to be broken in those areas. Release for the poor. Release for those in captivity. Release for those in slavery. Release of inheritance. Release of property that should belong to us. Amen. And I know property is is an issue here too. Maybe there's a property that is your inheritance here somewhere. Amen. Then Amen. Get hold of it and declare that it comes into its fullness this year. Amen. I believe it. I believe it for you. And we'll be praying for that and expecting that I will hear some good news. Okay, that's one thing, Jubilee. The other thing is shorter. Might seem totally separate, but it's not. Matthew 28:19. Because of Matthew 28:19, this is what I do, what I do. I'll start at 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age." I want to make disciples. I'm not sure if I'll manage it in all nations, but manage a few. And maybe they will go on. The principle that I want to have in my life is that if I sow what the Lord's put in me into someone else's life, I want to see it reproduced and reproduced and reproduced. That's what discipleship is, this reproducing of life, kingdom life in other people. And this verse, often when people preach about this verse, they're preaching from the angle of therefore go. Therefore go. Go, go, go evangelize, go preach, go, you know, into the nations, do this go, which is of course right. We want to go. And then as I've been thinking over this, it's like the Lord just gives you another layer of revelation, or he speaks to you about another part. And then for me, there's a significant part of go and make disciples. And often what we go and do is we make converts. We tell them about Christ and we go, "Woo, yeah, they love Jesus, bye." But I don't want to just make converts. I want to make disciples, people who know what it is to grow up in the faith, to lay down things that are not of the Lord, to go radical for him in whatever sphere that is. It doesn't mean they have to go and, you know, become a missionary in Africa, because it's always Africa, isn't it? That could be being radical in their place of work, in their own hometown. Sometimes that's even harder, you know, than being a missionary on the other side of the world. But the point is that they're growing and going deeper. They know how to encourage themselves in the Lord. They know how to use the word. Yeah. They know their own sonship or daughtership. They know how to stand in their identity. And that's what I want to do in any of the nations the Lord takes me to. But then there was this bit that I'd never thought about before. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And of course, you immediately think of, okay, baptizing them. Yep, yeah, there it is, it's done. They're baptized, you know, as a practical act or an event that demonstrates a spiritual reality. That's what baptism is. But I thought, okay, well, what is the spiritual reality of baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? And in the Bible, the name means the very character, the very fullness, the very essence of the Lord. That's what name means. The word baptism means immerse. Name means in the character, fullness of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I'm like, wow, you know, the Lord just began to speak to me. What we often do in church is we baptize people into the reality of Jesus. And we might mention the Father and we might mention the Holy Spirit, but we baptize them into Jesus. And of course, Jesus is the gospel and is the center point. But we need to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We need to immerse them in the character of the fullness of God, who he is as Father, who he is as Savior, who he is as Spirit. And I haven't got time to go into all of those things, but I just felt that was an important point. And that maybe there's a season here where some people need to be baptized into the Father. Mm-hmm. To know that he is a good, good Father. That's right. Because Jesus came to reveal the Father. That's why he came. He came to reveal the Father. It says it over and over again, and particularly in John 17. That's what he came to do, to make the Father known, to glorify the Father, to point to the Father. And if we stop at Jesus, then we have this friend relationship with Jesus, and we have this love relationship with Jesus. But do we know that we're sons and daughters? And that's what Jesus came to bring us into, the reality that we are sons and daughters of a good Father.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
And that means that we can stand in the fullness of that identity without fear, standing tall in our giftings, in his love, in his truth. And from that place, we can serve and minister. If we serve and minister without knowledge of the Father, then we serve as orphans. And that's a dangerous place. If we serve and don't know the Father, then we actually serve a lot without love. Because it's love flows from the Father. And also often what happens in more charismatic circles is we go from Jesus to the Holy Spirit. It's like, we know Jesus now, we want the gifts and we want the power. And so we move towards the Holy Spirit, which again is of course right. We want to pursue those things. But if we pursue the gift and the power without knowing our identity from the Father, then again it goes all a little bit, woo. We need the fullness. You know, in a normal human way, children's identity comes from their parents, the way they look, the way they act, the way they understand love, the way they understand how to interact with people. It should come from the father and mother. And in the same way, spiritually, our identity comes from knowing his identity. And often, again, we focus on first, we come from the place of who am I in Christ, who am I in Christ. Again, totally right to look at those things. But if we subtly shift and say, who is he? Who is he as Father? Who is he as Lord? Who is he as Spirit? Then find our identity from that place, things start to flow in right alignment. And I want to encourage you here to ask the Lord, okay, where is my gap with you? And you'll know as you think about, what do you normally think about? Do you normally, when you're praying, do you normally pray to the Father? Do you normally pray to Jesus? You know, we have these images in our heads of what we're praying to. Ask him, what's missing? And go after the truth. What does it say in here about the Father? Who is he? What does it say in here about the Spirit? Who is he? And immerse yourself. So immerse means to take the fullness into yourself. And we can do that with the word. It's just to keep going over and over the word, speaking it out, singing it out, writing it out, talking to other people about it. Help each other immerse in the truth. Make it normal to be talking about these things. Like, what's your revelation of the Father? Which area do you struggle with? Just talk about it. Because we can learn so much from one another as we begin just to make it normal to talk and share. So often what we do is, in the Bible it talks about the crossing of the Red Sea, and then later, and the Israelites then are in the desert, and then there's the crossing of the Jordan into the Promised Land. And again, often what we do is we lead people through the crossing of the Red Sea, so salvation, redemption, and then we hang about in the wilderness. But the Lord doesn't want us to stop there. He wants us to cross through the Jordan as well, which is this taking hold of our fullness of our identity in Christ, our fullness of our identity as sons and daughters, the fullness of the Spirit. We need to cross through the Jordan too and take hold of our inheritance, take hold of the Promised Land. And we do that over and over again. It's not a one-time event. We're going to have to keep crossing the Jordan. When we realize we have an issue with fear, or when we realize we have an issue with our Father, identity of the Father, or when we need to get hold of a new gifting, we'll cross through the Jordan and take hold of the promise. And I want to encourage you to think about, what is my Jordan that the Lord is asking me to cross? Okay, I could go on forever, so I'm going to ask Kasia to come up and share something.
Use the mic.
Oh.
Use that for recording.
It is for recording.
Oh, okay. Never used such.
It's not complicated, it just needs to be attached.
Right there, just. It's okay. Okay. Speak into that.
Can you hear me? Cool. Okay, I wanted to share something that God's been speaking to me about for the last 2 days, and I'm sure it's connected with everything that Sue said and with everything that we were talking about yesterday, meaning glory. And I could probably really speak for at least an hour about it, but I'm trying to make it short and just, I ask God to make it short and concrete and clear. Yesterday, when I was praying in the morning, I was asking God about His glory and what the meaning of His glory is. And honestly, does it make a funny sound?
Yeah, it's just actually.
Okay. And actually, I was never asking this question before, but as I was praying, among other things, God reminded me of this story from the Old Testament when. It's the first book of Samuel, when the Israelites decided to go and fight with the Philistines. And I think they were kind of losing or something. And some of them suddenly decided, let's bring the Ark of Covenant among our soldiers. And this will bring us victory. So I don't know how many of you remember this story, but basically they did bring the Ark of the Covenant to them and expected their army to win. And even the Philistines, is it there? Right? The Philistines, when they heard that, oh, the Hebrews, they brought the Ark of the Covenant, now we're going to lose. What's, like, that's terrible. But actually what happened is the Israelites, they lost the fight. And we may ask why. I mean, the glory, the very presence of the Lord was among them. What happened? Why did it end this way? And then the Ark of the Covenant, it ended up in the temple of some god, like Dagon, yeah. It was like totally wrong place for it to be. And many, many strange and kind of random things happened to it afterwards. But I was asking, like, why, what happened that God, you didn't support the Israel at the time? And what I believe that God spoke to me about it is that yesterday during the meeting, we had a meeting and with some people from the church. We were talking about glory in its meaning. And I believe that at that moment when the Israelites wanted to get the glory and use it for, they basically wanted to use it for their own purpose, for their own goals, for their own greed, for their own sense of, okay, we're gonna win this fight. And did they even ask the Lord if this fight is for this time? So we may draw so many things out of it, but basically I believe that the Lord really stresses in this story, He stresses the fact that what He really intended His glory to be used for is mainly to be glorified by us. I mean, God wanted to live among Israel to be glorified by them and to be enjoyed by them. I mean, He wanted them to know that their God is among them and to glorify Him at the first place and enjoy His presence, enjoy the relationship that they could have. And they kind of used it, and not only did they miss it, they missed it, and they totally, like, it, you know, it kind of got, made it end up in some really strange places. And sometimes we ask, okay, where is the glory of God? Why don't we feel the glory? Why do we feel sleepy? Why do we feel not awake? Why do we feel abandoned by God? And maybe sometimes our focus is just not in the right place. Maybe we want to use the glory of God for the purpose that is not right at the time, and it's not right at all sometimes. So then after like many years, I think it was 20 years or something, David became the king, and he decided to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. And at that time, I really believe that this was like David, and in his heart, he really knew what this was all about. Basically, he had this revelation, and what he did, I'm sure many of you, like all of you, know this story. He took the Ark of the Covenant, and he was rejoicing over it. He was making a fool of himself. He was dancing in front of the Ark, and even his wife basically despised him at that time, because he was rejoicing so much. He had the right heart attitude towards the presence of God. So he didn't think, okay, now the Ark is with us, I'm going to be, I don't know, a rich king, I'm going to win every war, and so on. He was just simply rejoicing over the presence of the Lord coming back to his people. And this was the main strength of it all. And I think from this position, all the other blessing came. So I just want to pray. I just want to pray that, because I really believe this is something important for this church, important for me personally, but also for all of you. So I just want to pray, God, that in this season, that you would really, that the whole year of Jubilee is about getting back to the alignment and getting back what is lost. So I want to pray that you allow us, Father, to get the right way of thinking about what glory and what your presence really means, and that we would stop using it for the worst, for wars that you did not intend us to take part in, that we would not basically misuse it in any possible way. So I just pray that you would bring us back, that you bring your presence back to this fellowship and to each and every life here, personally, that we would really understand what your presence, and really value your presence, and have the revelation of the very value of your presence, and that we would enjoy and love you first. Yeah. You first, like you on the first place with all our heart and our mind and our soul, and the love for our neighbor flowing out of it. Amen. Amen.
It's going to be short. Shorter than her. My goodness, this stuff. I just want to quickly share, according to what Kasia said, today morning we were praying for the service and basically for you guys, like the church, how we can minister to you. And I didn't know how the room looks like, but I saw not exactly the room, but I saw exactly chairs standing, the position they stand. And I saw the huge river flowing from that side here, and it was just in the very middle of the room. And Adrienne was visiting us in Hernhut, which was very glorious, and she shared some things that are going on in the church, and this great meeting, Sunday meeting that you had, it was Sunday meeting that she fell down and so on. And from that time on, we were like thinking what to share with you and so on. And the Lord basically was speaking to me that, there is awakening going on, and maybe I'm just gonna confirm some things that were already said or we already sang, but I think it's important to say so everybody knows it. I think like the Lord is seriously bringing you to the encounter with the Father, and the river is in here already. It's not like the river will flow or wherever. It's already here, and you can hear it's rushing, and you can hear the sound of the water. And the when the water in the river is rushing, the tiny splits of the water are like touching you if you're close enough to the river. But the point is not to be close enough to the river. The point is not to get in the river. And what I saw was like people were standing in your rows, but you, it's not like you're not ready to get into the river. It's more about you making decision to be ready, if you know what I mean. Because, I believe, we had this sleepiness today morning, and I was like, I can't be that tired. We stayed at Wendy's and Mark's, and it's so lovely, and I love it, and I have such a deep, long sleep, and I'm like, why am I so tired? And we started to pray, and we believed it was spiritual, and I don't say that you have a sleeping spirit, because I don't feel it. I feel like some people are just more awake than others. So it's not about being sleepy, it's about being awake on the different levels. And I love the sentence that there is nothing more annoying and awakening for people who are sleeping, other people who are awakened, who are fully awakened. So I want to encourage those who are awakened to be more awakened and poke this, the ones who are still like getting out from the bed and are like, oh, what's going on? To just be a little bit annoying so you could all jump into the river, because this is encounter with the glory. And what I want to say is that I believe there is a huge, seriously, anointing on a dance in that church. And I didn't know you had any like dance going on, but Sue told me today morning like you used to have more dancing flags and whatever. And I believe there is some breakthrough about to happen, but you have to step out of your comfort zone, which is called I want to look right. And what Kasia said about bringing the Ark of Covenant, and we know that this year you want to be a place of dwelling of the Lord. Yeah, that's your theme, whatever. And Kasia said that he was bringing the Ark of Covenant, and he made totally full out of himself, which we all know, and we like to tell the story, and we like to say, yeah, it's good. But when it comes the time, we are like, who makes the first step? And it's so much better when we all make fools out of ourselves than just three people and stare at them, because at some point I think they're gonna be just tired of being fools among other normal people. So basically, I think it's a lot about the season of growing in unity, going together forth. So when everybody, I know it sounds funny, but if everybody decides to rejoice over this glory and jump into the river, making your clothes wet, probably, it's so much more fun, and it's so much better, because there is no one to judge if we all jump into it. So it takes unity. So like today morning was like, let's shake it off. And like half of the people were shaking off, and others were like, maybe I don't have anything to shake off. Maybe you don't, but others have, so help them. You know, it's about putting yourself in a position of servant. Even if you feel like now we're praying for, I don't know, whatever, we make a prophetic act of receiving healing from, I don't know, being an orphan, right? And you're like, oh, I know my position in the Father and so on. But you do it for others. So everybody does it, right? This is unity, and this is putting yourself lower than others, right? So I think this is important. So this is basically eat, and I think the Lord will be taking you to the river at the very moment you decide to get out of this comfort zone called look right. And another thing that I want to, like, my mark is this dancing thing. I know Karen, who is not here today, I believe, like, this is like a great calling on her life, and I know she has a problem with her back. She can't really, she doesn't have like a full range of movements and so on. But I think the kids and basically what dance is doing with us is totally taking us out of the position being comfortable. And this is something that Hania is going to be just say a few sentences about, like, how important are movements in the spiritual realms, because sometimes just putting your hands up change something, and it's important to just step out. Yeah, so this is just what I wanted to say, but I want to encourage you as well, as we were in a meeting yesterday, and today it's so visible that you are in the process of being awakened. And there are some people who are more, and they're so encouraging for others. And I believe this year of Jubilee will be bringing back your identity as well as a church, and reaching for things that some people were disappointed with, and they didn't let, like, full frustration or bitterness to come into their hearts, but there is this memory of, like, I was disappointed. And I believe the Lord is bringing you back to the place of fighting for your own thing, and you have authority to do it, to take it back. Yeah, that's all. Thank you.
I'm scared about this. Hello. So I just... I just want to encourage you, because God is speaking to me a lot about His love last days. And I really experienced that without His love, I can't do anything. I'm not able to do anything. And... yeah, last days I was really thinking how I'm able to love people. They really hurt me, and he showed me that without knowing the fullness of His love, and without wanting this love, like, only one thing that I really want in my life, I will be never satisfied, because my heart will long for other things, like being accepted, like being in the position I have to be, or being in fullness of my ministry, I don't know, like, the things we are longing for, like, desires of our hearts. But God is showing me that if he is my the only one desire, He's bringing me back the things that belongs to me. And it happened to me with dance as well. Like, I'm not a dancer, and I've never danced in the flagging group or something like that. I have no experience like that. And I wasn't even in a Christian environment for the most of my life. And I was in Herrnhut, I was doing internship for 4 months. And before, God was, like, telling me little bit about my dancing, and Sue saw the vision of me dancing in the dream. And I was like, yes, of course, never happened. It will never happen to me, because I'm like, I can dance for myself, but it's nothing special about it, because I'm not a dancer. And it was so much in my head, I'm not a dancer, I'm not professional, I'm not the person who is stepping out and doing something. And it was costs me a lot to stand in front and doing something in front of the people. And what God is showing me, that unity is not about doing everybody the same thing, but it's about let people do other things, and the things that God puts in their heart, with the same focus on love of God, which belongs to all of us. And yes, and my first thing was, I was standing and I was shaking, and God was telling me, like, stand in front and dance. But I was like, oh, I'm afraid. And it was like a huge, really, fear of man in me, like, what somebody will think about me stepping in front. And my friend Tabea saw me, and she said, do you need some help? And I was like, yes, God wants me to dance, but I'm shaking, but I'm scared, but I don't know what to do. And she said, let's do it together. And it started a breakthrough that God step by step was doing in me. And I was like, and in the end, I wasn't really scared to stand in front and do what God's called me to do. And then I did many, many things I didn't expect myself to do, like writing the songs. I don't know how to write the songs. I have no skills of writing anything, but God just it was from the place of love, because I love God and I wanted to worship Him, and I stand and I was like, I will sing for you, and then song came to me and I wrote it, and it wasn't really like a brain work. It was just something I did because I love. And the same with the learning. I was always struggling with learning, and I had so many problems with school because of my concentration stuff. And I was like, oh, I cannot study. And Sue was like, okay, this morning we will study by ourselves. But I was like, I'm not gonna study anything. I will go with the empty like piece of paper. But I was like, okay, I will just listen to the Lord because I love Him. And then I just end up with all the pages written about something, because God just gave me a revelation of the things. So that means, and God really showed me I got a dream with Jesus, and He was teaching me there. And He wasn't really glorious. He was just a normal person, like a teacher and friend. And He was just teaching me. And I was like, God, but what does it mean that you are just walking with me and teaching? And He said, I don't expect you to be like a perfect, amazing disciple, like chosen from the others. I just want you to love me, because my disciples were fishermen. They wasn't studying Bible every day. They were just the workers. And I end up with this thought, like, I can be nothing. I can do nothing. I can be like really not talented in anything, but with love, I can do the things. And this is not the thing that this is not my purpose. This is the thing that brings to others like a complete piece of unity. Because when I'm doing the things, when I'm stepping forward, and when I'm writing a song, it can change people's life, and this can change other person's life. And this is not about being proud of or performing something. And I think what we spoke with girls, there is like a people, not only with dancing, but with dancing I feel like, oh, step and dance. It's just amazing. But I think it's also other things. And sometimes I think it's not going to be, maybe, it's not going to be typical thing, like somebody have anointing to leadership or to sing or something else. Maybe it's anointing to bring people joy. I don't know. It's like there are the things that God puts in your hearts. But I wish that this things which was blocking me, the fear of men and fear of stepping in front or fear of shout or something, will not block us. So, yeah, so this is the thing I wanted to share. Yeah, thank you.
I think this unity thing, this corporate thing, is really important, and particularly what Hania was saying there, as someone came alongside her and said, should we do it together?
Yeah.
And sometimes we're in the moment where we feel we need to do something, we feel alone, and we feel like, oh, I'm just going to be... But this is a safe place to learn and make a mistake. If you make a mistake, well, what's the big deal? You're still a child of God. God still loves you and everybody else. Well, you might have a laugh about it in a few years' time, but who cares, you know? And just to think not only individually but corporately, where do we need to go together, and who can I help to bring them forward in their gifting? Who can I stand with? Who can I dance with? Who can I sing with? Who can I, whatever it is, and to get this corporate mentality coming higher on the radar of moving together somewhere. And I think the other important key is that there's many things that the Lord wants to bring back to you that either you've lost, you may be forgotten about, you maybe were disappointed about individually and corporately, and.